dry weather. That's windy.
So thanks for coming out. I'm Angie Hubbard. I'm the Director of Community Development at the Metropolitan Development and Housing Agency. And we're here for the public hearing to kick off the consolidated plan process for our 2018-2023 plan. So since we're a small group and I always like to know, and there's some new faces I'm glad to see here, I would love to go around and have everybody just say their name. And if you're here as a citizen or if you're representing an agency, please, or both, just let us know. So, and I want to thank Habitat for hosting us tonight. So I'll start with Laura.
Sure. I'm Laura Gore. I'm the Director of Research and Grants here at Habitat, and we're glad you're in our space.
My name is Curtis Thomas. I work in the agency.
Herman Castro, I'm pastor in El Shaddai Christian Church.
Mika Labonte, I'm an occupational therapy doctorate student representing the Tennessee Commission on Aging and Disability.
Great, thank you.
Jim Harbison, MDHA.
Connor O'Neill, MDHA.
Mick Nelson, I am representing, I guess, a citizen, even though I'm not really a citizen, and also work in housing as well.
Great. Angela?
I'm Angela Harrell with MDHA.
Kelly
Dawson,
representing Rebuilding Together. Allison Aurora, Community Schools of Tennessee. Sarah Miller, I'm just not sure what industry we're going to be in.
This is the talk about what we're going to put in the plan, yeah. And Herschel, you want to?
Herschel Warren, work for Metro, the mayor's office.
Thank you.
As a citizen.
We're just doing some introductions, Steve.
Steve Ryder, citizen, I guess.
Yes, great, thank you. And this is my boss, Mr. Jim Harbison. He's the executive director of MDHA. I don't know if you want to say a few words before we dive into the agenda.
Just thanks for joining us. These public meetings are critical. This is where we get the input we need for the five-year plan to shape what we do with the community development funds that we get from our federal government, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is about $8 million a year in a variety of programs. And this consolidated plan gives us the input from the community for us to build the public plan for 5 years to take to council for them to approve after our board approves it. So thank you for being here, and please speak up.
Yes, thank you. So a little housekeeping before we start. So make sure you've signed in. On the sign-in sheet, there are some boxes for you to check on your interest area. Feel free to check all that apply, because we're going to, over the next month, 2 months, we're going to have some public input meetings and some stakeholder meetings that are subject-specific. So if you check them all, then you're likely going to get an invitation or a meeting notice about all of those meetings. And then pick up materials. So all of you, when you came in, you should have, we have copies of the slideshow, so you can make notes on slides. So when I conclude my presentation and you have questions, we'll go back and address those. And then there's also a one-page front and back of the objectives of the consolidated plan, and we'll discuss these more. The format for tonight is I'm going to give a presentation, get through it. If there are any questions on the presentation itself, I'll take those at that time, and then we'll go into taking comments on two pieces, which would be how we can get greater citizen participation in our process, as well as what some of your thoughts are on housing and community development needs. So we're going to start, again, this is the agenda. We're going to start with the overview of the consolidated plan, its purpose, the things that we're going to have in the plan, all the elements, the data, and all the resources we're going to use to develop the plan. Then also as part of the consolidated plan, we're doing the action plan for the first year of the five-year plan, our timeline, and then I'll take comments on our citizen participation, to develop our citizen participation plan and housing and community development needs. So that there's no confusion, there's no draft out, there's no report out, there's no plan out yet for review. We're starting that process. This is to kick it off. So overview of the consolidated plan. So Metro Nashville gets community development block grant funding directly from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development on a formula basis. So cities that get this money are required by HUD to do a consolidated plan every 5 years. So the consolidated plan uses HUD and local data, stakeholder and public input to help shape the plan to identify housing and community development priorities and then to align resources. So the consolidated plan is going to be a toolkit for the city for house, affordable housing, homelessness assistance, community development. When I talk about community development, just so we understand terminology, I'm talking about infrastructure like sidewalks, parks, community facilities, public services that are not necessarily economic development related, although they will be lumped in for tonight, and then anti-poverty strategies, which could be economic development. So our new five-year plan will become effective June 1st of 2018 and run through May 31st of 2023. So the purpose. The consolidated plan has three overarching objectives, which are on your handout. One is making sure that these resources and others provide decent housing, create suitable living environments, and expand economic opportunities. And we're going to explore what this means here for housing. So these bullet points are actually what the consolidated plan regulations say we have to evaluate. So we have to evaluate how homeless persons can obtain appropriate housing, how persons at risk of homelessness can be prevented from losing their housing, how we can retain our affordable. Does any of this ring in a bell from any of the conversations that we've been having in the city? Retain affordable housing. How we can increase permanent housing that's in good condition, that's affordable to low-income families. When I talk about low income, so we're all clear, I'm talking about 80% of the area median income for the Nashville Metropolitan Statistical Area. We use the AMI, which is what HUD requires. And there are different definitions at the state and local levels, but we're using HUD's definition. We're also, again, talking about increasing permanent supportive housing, which combines physical housing with wraparound services for vulnerable populations. When we talk about creating suitable living environments, this is the safety and livability of neighborhoods, making sure that there's access to quality and public and private facilities. What we tend to see in low-income areas, that's where these things will be concentrated. These are underserved with quality programs, with quality services, with quality amenities, even your basic sidewalks, access to transportation. So that's what we talk with suitable living environments. One of these bullets talks about how we can reduce deconcentration of poverty by creating, bringing opportunities and mixed income to areas that are traditionally or overwhelmingly low income. And then when we talk about expanding economic opportunities, we have to look at ways to help people create and retain jobs for low income. Now, we're not a workforce development agency. We're not developing a workforce development plan, but there will be an evaluation and discussion on programs that could help further workforce development initiatives in the city. How we can help small businesses provide public services concerned with employment. An example of how we currently do that is we help fund the Opportunity Now program. A portion of it, not by no means a majority, but a portion of it that the city has initiated. There's a requirement when we do a HUD project that we try to reach out to low-income areas, people living in low-income areas that are located where we're building a project. So there are various ways we can help advance economic opportunities by increasing empowerment and self-sufficiency opportunities. So the consolidated plan is developed in accordance with federal regulation. If you like regulations, and I love them, that's the citation. If anybody has, you know, some spring break reading you want to do, that's what tells you exactly what the consolidated plan is and how we have to do it. HUD also has provided a template. That is a link. I'm going to put this presentation online, and that will be a live link to click on. If you, or you can just Google consolidated plan template. But this, there's a whole desk guide of, again, wonderful, about 400 pages that tells us exactly how we have to do the consolidated plan and what format. And it'll be organized in the following sections. So we'll have what I don't have up here. There'll be an executive summary. Then we'll discuss our whole process from this kickoff meeting, even pre-planning of what we've done before, all the way through to the approval process through our Metro Council. We have to do a needs assessment, a market analysis, and I'm going to talk about what those look like here in a minute, a strategic plan, and then we'll have our implementation plan for the first year, which is our program year one action plan. And when we have a public hearing, such as this is an official public hearing, we'll have public hearings during our draft review and comment period. Comments made at these public hearings, as well as when we have our comment period on the draft and they're submitted in writing, will be summarized and contained in an appendix of the plan. If someone has asked us to consider an action, we have to respond and say whether or not we considered that comment and why or why not. Hey guys. And then there are tons of other exhibits and appendices that'll be attached. There will be lots of maps so people can really see when we start talking about geographical priorities. There will be maps that you can refer to. So what will the needs assessment and the consolidated plan include? So there's a housing needs assessment. We have to look at disproportionately greater housing need. What that is, there are four factors. One is whether a house has adequate plumbing facilities in bathroom or kitchen. That's actually two. One is the housing cost burden. And I'm drawing a blank on the fourth one. Yes.
Overcrowding.
Yeah. Thank you, Mick. Actually, it's like a quiz while I'm here, too. So that's what disproportionate housing need is. Public housing, we'll look at any public housing needs. Then there'll be a separate homeless needs assessment, non-homeless needs assessment, and really I don't know why HUD doesn't simply define it as persons with AIDS, because that's what where it relates to the HOPWA grant, Housing Opportunities for Persons with AIDS. And then non-housing community development. So that goes back to any other community development need in the city besides housing, again, adequate parks, sidewalks, bus stops, community facilities. And then our market analysis will evaluate the general characteristics of the housing market. Again, the number of units, cost of housing, and the condition. Lead-based paint hazards. We'll look at we'll also do a market analysis for public and assisted housing, facilities and housing for persons with the homeless, services for the homeless. Again, special needs, and that is really related to HOPWA. We typically take comments on for persons with disabilities in our general housing analysis. Any barriers to affordable housing that HUD has us look at policy and regulatory, like zoning, land use controls, things like that. But we also want to get feedback on economic barriers, discriminatory barriers. So we want to look at things like that. And then there's a whole where we just analyze it and summarize what our needs and market analysis includes. Our strategic plan, and this is a whole host of things instead of me going through all of these bullets. There will be a section on geographic priorities. When we talk about housing is direct benefit to a person. So we will assist persons at 80% or below median income with our federal programs. When we're talking about community development that is not housing, that is based on the percentage of low-income people in an area. And so we will be looking, and we have a lot of low-income census tracts in Davidson County, but we're going to look at what are the most underserved areas, the ones with the highest concentrations of poverty, some of the least investment, to start looking at how we can target block grant money. We'll establish needs for priorities for the use of funds. We're going to talk about how we're going to be delivering our programs through partnerships, how we'll award funds out through a competitive process or partner with subrecipients. We'll have some real goals, measurable goals and objectives, because we'll have to report on these every year. There will be a homeless strategy included, an anti-poverty strategy, and then we'll talk about how Connor, who's our monitor, is going to monitor all these things. No pressure. So when we talk about how we're going to tackle this, I bet everybody's thinking, don't we have already like three other plans out there that have needs assessment or market analyses on things? And we do. But HUD requires us to look at their data and use their tools. But HUD does allow us to use alternate data when it is valid and reliable, and some of those things that we will be aligning, and we're working very closely with our Metro colleagues to make sure it's aligned with National Next, that we're pulling that information. The Mayor's Housing Report, Metro Social Services recently released Community Needs Evaluation. Some of you participated in our very robust conversations last year on the assessment of fair housing, which is now going to be called the analysis of impediments, and I won't even get into that. But it's still, we're committed to incorporating the goals that were in that assessment of fair housing into this consolidated plan. And then the most important piece is the local knowledge. That's the stuff that we all know. Data doesn't tell us everything. And sometimes what it tells us is not even accurate, because we're such a dynamic and changing city. So that's why stakeholder and community input is critically important. And there will be opportunities during March and April to help shape the plan. Then once the plan is shaped, there will be opportunities to comment on it. And we have some fabulous partners that are going to be helping us with the input sessions. Our colleagues with the Metro Homelessness Commission is going to be leading the analyses and the input sessions on homelessness. And our partners with the Housing Fund are going to help us with some stakeholder meetings on housing. And we will be posting meetings as those are developed. So I'm going to, in a minute, give you links and information how you can keep informed. Our action plan that will also be included will cover June 1st through May 31st of 2019. And this is action plans are annual updates that implement the strategies of the consolidated plan. The action plans where we actually talk about specific things we're going to do in a 12-month period and the funds that we're going to use, the federal funds that we're going to program toward it. And if we have information on other funds that can be used, we'll bring those in as well. This also serves as the annual application to HUD for our four programs, Community Development Block Grant. And CDBG is a very wide-ranging grant. And I'll pause here for a minute and give you an overview of the grants that we're talking about. That we do, that's where we do the non-housing community development. We do housing. It's right now, you can only use CDBG for new construction in a very limited circumstance. So we use it for rehab, rental, or homeowner. It's been typically programmed at 35%. We are looking at increasing that to at least 50%. But that's also where we fund our summer youth programs, our Opportunity Now, our fair housing. Home, and that's around, CDBG is around $4.6 million traditionally. Recently, home is around $1.9 million. That is the only funding source we get for new construction. So that's how we use home, is for new construction, predominantly rental. And when we use home for rental, it's 60% or below area median income. Homeownership is at 80%. So emergency solutions grants, that's the funding we get for homeless assistance for a variety of things, from shelter operations to rapid rehousing to prevention to street outreach. There's a number of things you can do with Emergency Solutions Grant. And then our housing opportunities for persons with AIDS and their families, which is often in the form of short-term rent, utility, and mortgage assistance. We get these funds based on a formula that HUD has, and I don't know all the components. It's all based on what the congressional budget is. And then for when Congress makes a budget, HUD then plugs all of the numbers in a system and tells us what we're going to get every year. So here's our timeline. So we're in the planning and input phase, and we've actually been doing some legwork in preparation for these meetings. So through April 6th, we'll be doing our data review and analyses. We'll be heavy into consultations and community meetings. The first week of April is National Community Development Week. And during that week is when we're going to have a whole lot of public input community meetings around the county. That's our Community Development Week. Other cities do different things, but we decided to focus on really using that. There's lots of conversations going on with different initiatives, and we don't want to confuse this and take up other people's time, so we're using our Community Development Week for that. We are going to roll out a survey in the next week or so, and that'll go also through this time. We'll also be in draft writing mode throughout. We can be draft writing on our data analyses. That'll be completed on April 30th for the draft release for public comment on May 1st. And that'll run through May 31st. We'll have at least 4 public hearings in different places and different times. We may have one on a Saturday, a couple at night, and maybe one at lunch, so we can accommodate people's schedules, and they'll be in different places in the county. And as I mentioned, every comment we receive at these meetings will be summarized and incorporated in our draft. We will not go through our local approval phase, which requires the MDHA Board of Commissioners and then the Metro Council approval, and this, because it's a 5-year plan, will be by ordinance until HUD gives us our final numbers. So right now we're in a continuing resolution with HUD, which means we don't have a official federal budget. We hope there will be one passed by March 22nd when this continuing resolution expires. When the president signs a budget, whether it's a full-year continuing resolution, an omnibus bill, or a combination of, it is 60 days for HUD to tell us how much money we're going to get. So that would be May 22nd. You can see that will be in the middle of our draft. We will be going out with the draft with estimates based on, we'll be using current year numbers, because that all indications are we will at least receive current year numbers. If it's able to negotiate more money from HUD under the increased spending caps, yay for us. But we do not expect a decrease. If we do, it's only because of the poverty and the condition of housing changes in Nashville. That's part of the formula. But we really are, we're thinking it's close to what we have. HUD lets us do that. This is how they encourage it. We have to get it done before May 31st because our program year starts June 1. And we will tell the public in the report exactly how we will adjust the numbers when we get our final numbers, so that there's no shock, there's no misunderstanding about how we come up with our final numbers. And then once we get through Metro Council and we have an ordinance, we will submit to HUD and hopefully get our funding soon thereafter. So how can you stay informed? So get on our email list, and all of you have signed in, and you must have gotten an email from me or saw it in the paper or a tweet or something. But now we have your email list. Let your friends know. Make sure that they email us. We'll be doing weekly updates on our website every Friday by 4:30. So by the end of the day tomorrow, this presentation will be online. If we can make it work, we have an audio recording that's happening now of this meeting. We'll try to upload that file as well by 4:30 tomorrow. If there are other meetings that are going to be, that we're scheduling out for March or April that we know about, those will be posted as well. So please check back on Fridays for upcoming events or information from meetings that have already occurred. And then, of course, like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @NashvilleMDHA. Our fabulous communications director does a great job of making sure that we utilize our social media. So before we jump into the public comments, Does anyone have any questions about the presentation and the process itself? Okay.
I guess I just have a brief question. That is that in the other program years, starting at a different date prior.
Yes.
So
thank you. We actually changed it last year. It was April 1st to March 31st of every year. But I've been the community development director at MDHA for 5 years, and never in these 5 years has Congress passed a budget on time. And we have been into the end of our second quarter of our program year before we've had any money. And that puts us in a considerable financial situation and puts us in precarious position on being able to fund programs. So HUD actually encouraged us to push back our program year as far as we could, which June 1st is actually as far as we can go because our summer youth programs actually start June 1, and if we started July 1, we would not be able to fund them for a year. And these are a big piece. So that's why we're now on a June 1 to May 31st cycle. Thank you, Steve. Any other questions on the process or timeline? Yes.
Will the future public hearings, the format of those meetings, will be similar to like kind of an overview presentation and then public comments?
Yes. So our draft will be very dense. There's lots of information. We will do similar to this where I will give a presentation, highlights of the plan, and then we'll take comments on it. We will videotape hopefully the very first public hearing so it can be online. So people that can't attend or want to watch it over and over, they can have access to that. Then we'll... I actually, like our YouTube video from last year had lots of hits, and I think a lot of them were from me because it kept freezing up and I was buffering it. I kept trying to get on it. But anyway, we're trying to make it to where you can navigate through this document as easily as possible. We will make sure that it's out on the street for about 2 weeks before we have our first hearing, in case people do want to take some time and look through it. We will have it on our website in pieces by chapter so that you're not having to print the whole thing or try to remember where you were if you want to read one section at a time. Just the easiest way that you guys can get through it. Any other questions on the process? Okay, so we have two things I really want to get comments on tonight. The first one is, and I'm so glad to hear to see this participation for us. This is a really big deal. Thank you for coming out tonight. But we really want to get widespread participation. These are programs that help the most vulnerable people in our city, help the most underserved areas. So it's critical that we make sure that they know about their opportunity to have input into this meeting or into this plan. We want to make sure that our neighbors who have limited English proficiency, that we can reach out to them in a manner that make them feel comfortable about attending and responding in languages that they can access. We want to make sure persons with disabilities have input on accessibility as related to housing, supportive services. So we really want to hear your thoughts on our traditional methods are we have to advertise in the paper. We have a massive email list. Our partners at the city, Metro Homelessness Commission, Metro Social Services, our Continuum of Care. We have lots of partners that also spam out. We're asking if you get an email from us and you have a network, email that out. Our social media. But if there are other successful ways that you all know of bringing people to the table, please, we want to have comment on that. And then we have our one-pager, which are these objectives that I reviewed earlier. The front page, objective one, is about housing. Provide decent housing. And over here, there are two columns on the back side. One is on a suitable living environment, and one is on the economic opportunities. While you're here, if you just have general thoughts you want to just throw against the refrigerator like spaghetti and see if it sticks. We're here to take those comments. If you want to just take this home or write something down and turn it in if you don't feel comfortable speaking out loud, or just take it home and use it as a guide for further consultations, however you want to use this. This was just a reference for this section of the comment period, so I wouldn't have to go all the way back through the slide and say, okay, wait a minute, what was some of those goals? So at this point, I'm going to open it up for comments on these items and any other things. Yes?
Are these MDHA objectives, or are these coming from Washington, from HUD?
These are exactly listed in the Consolidated Plan regulations, are things that we need to evaluate. So from these objectives, we will build our toolkit for how we're going to address these. But I think they're pretty consistent with things that we've seen recommendations through other reports in the city. But yeah, these are straight from the Consolidated Plan regulations. Okay.
For future planning. And then also offering materials in other languages, of course, would be a good way to get non-English speakers. And then as far as the presentation, I would just recommend I'm trying to make it as accessible as possible. Because for you and I, LMI, and
yes,
con plan makes sense, so we can kind of figure it out. But for some of our folks, our literacy rate, unfortunately, it's just very, very low in Tennessee. And so making sure people can actually and for those with low vision, at least 16-point font is pretty standard to make it visibly, a little bit more visible for those individuals. So this might be some ways to try to keep kind of short and clear and to the point to what help make sure that the communities you're trying to reach can understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so
absolutely.
Much.
Yes. I just wanted to comment. I know there's we have a lot of stuff. But I do think at some point in time we should go out there and tell Metro that they need to fund their programs. If they're going to have something for youth in the parks, that it's time for them to step up to the plate and put the requests in the budget. Now, I know they're talking about a status quo budget this time around, but it seems to me when we have tremendous needs in this community that the government should be able to fund its programs through its funding requests rather than relying on federal money to do so. I think that I've watched this process for quite a long time, and we have a $2 billion budget. We provide a lot of subsidies for businesses. It's time to go out there and tell them, if you're government funded, you shouldn't be coming to us for money. That we have needs out there that we're trying to address, leveraging our very limited amount of money that we have for programs in the community to try to make a difference.
Thank you, Steve. Any other comments on community development or housing needs? Yes?
For your outreach, because a lot of this is just a relationship-based, getting the feedback that would be most useful to you may not come in a session like this.
Mm-hmm.
You might consider doing like a train-the-trainer model with like your property management folks for your housing development, or caseworkers, or other social service agencies, the people who are contacting your user the most. And then it's like help them get feedback up that way. So it might not be in a public meeting like this, but capitalizing on the networks that you have. And then when I think about like a meeting like this too, sometimes it's intimidating if you're like from outside this world to come and like talk about your experiences and what's best for you. So I don't know if like a smaller table setting with like an MDHA representative where you're doing like relationship building at the beginning and building like those levels of trust. So the plan seems like as accessible to them as possible, but like you also get information that's useful for you.
Thank you. We will be utilizing our Promise Zone nonprofit partners, and if anyone else during Community Development Week wants to hold a community meeting too, we'll be glad to staff it and assist. But that we do small group discussions of around no more than like five people at a table, and really do exact that. That was so effective, and but yeah, let me extend that invitation if during the first week of April, if anyone wants to host a community meeting at your organization, we'll be glad to come out and help.
On the outreach and representing the Latino community, I think the churches and the alliances of pastors are a good way to people. I think I would say 95% of people are connected with a church. So I think my personal experience, this is the best way to communicate any kind of information that is happening in the city.
Thank you. If you have any names or contact information for people that we can reach out to, we would love to take those after this meeting.
I don't know how this would really work, but I know it's tax season now, and there's a lot of VITA tax mm-hmm. sites. One of my clients is Woodbine Community Organization. I know they have a lot of people coming through the doors. I don't know how you'd really match that up. There's already enough going on when someone's doing their taxes, but maybe there's an opportunity there.
Thank you. Any other comments on outreach or thoughts on the housing and community development needs in Nashville? Yes, absolutely. We already have in Nashville, we do a homeowner rehab program. We have Rebuilding Together, who has, I think, there's a couple of other organizations. And we will be looking at how we can align in our resources and our programs and target persons with disabilities with certain funding and the elderly and the very low income. So yes, that will absolutely be considered and addressed in this plan. Okay. Well, if no one else has any comments, then I will thank you for your time and look forward to seeing your faces at stakeholder meetings or community meetings where we can really dive in. At those meetings, we'll have a lot of our data analyses there available so people can see some real information. Yes, ma'am. That will be what comes out in our strategic plan. So we will be doing a needs assessment and a market analysis that will then help us set the goals over the 5-year period.
Okay.
Are you going to have some sort of working together, like housing trust fund on those particular issues, so that there can be some?
So what we want to do is build a whole toolkit that incorporates what's available through the federal programs, locally, even through the state and other federal sources, so everyone can see what's out there that can be used to address, and the best types of tools for certain needs. So yes, we will be presenting all of the resources that we know about that could potentially address these issues.
I don't know if they had some discussion, but does anybody in the room know, because there's been $10 million that's been allocated for housing trust fund on an ongoing basis, and it seems like the hiring freeze and some other things that are going on with Metro, that maybe there might not be that $10 million allocation. Does anybody in the room have any sort of idea on that?
Well, I think that would be addressed in the budget process.
I mean, the mayor's committed to $10 million a year for the Barnes Fund. That's been her commitment. So she will most likely get $10 million in her budget this year, and then council will have to approve that during the budget cycle.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And the whole idea with consolidated plan is that there would be a merge of all of the data and resources and alignment of resources. This is the plan that could do it.
I'll try again. Not that I want to cut it off. I don't. I'm not hungry yet. But if there are no comments or any other questions, then again, thank you. Look forward to seeing you as we go through this process. If you've written something down and want to leave it with us, we'll be glad to have it, or just take it with you and share it with your neighbors, or discuss it in your groups, in your network. Say, hey, MDHA is doing this plan on behalf of the city. They're looking at these things. Let's come back to meetings, or write us or call us. We'll sit down with you. We'll take appointments and meet before we go to draft. So however we can assist you all, your clients, your neighbors, in getting your input into this plan, we will make ourselves available. So thank you. Oh, yes, Adrian.
Yeah, I was just going to mention something related to Quante's question.
Oh, yes.
About the supply-demand gaps analysis, yeah, that was done by the city last year. There's an analysis that was done by Census Tract that says what the gap is per Census Tract for each income level. And there may be some analysis or some room for analysis with this consolidated plan that may help with setting goals for Census Tract. So
we'll marry all of these analyses, what we look at with the consolidated plan with the mayor's report. So what we'll be doing is taking the data we pull down from HUD, sharing it with Adrian's team, sharing it with Lee Stewart's team at Metro Social Services, and saying, how does this look? And then, are we seeing inconsistencies? What do we need to reconcile? And then we get a really great picture of that to identify the gaps.
Just a follow-up on what she was saying. Would that be available by council district, so council members can see?
It's already online. It's on the mayor's office website. It's in the House of National Report. There's a supply-demand gaps analysis memo that breaks down by Census Tract. It's been there since May of last year.
Well, not Census Tract. I talk about council districts, so council members can. So, like, District 21, that Kendall can say, well, my area, that's,
Yeah, and that's a part of the community needs evaluation. So it's unfortunately that's why,
yeah,
we've been trying to marry this process a bit, because you had Metro Social Services, who provides the community needs evaluation. You did the Housing National Report last year, and MDHA provided the action plan, the annual report. And so there are three different reports right there that provides valuable data to help us set goals. And so this is an opportunity for us to kind of marry all of those different resources and come up with a citywide approach to goal setting.
Well, I just think it would be helpful for when we come.
is the third time the charm.
I know, I just have to ask, do you mind to think this? Ben Carson was in town here, so did he stop by MBHA, can you say, or was that a classified meeting when he
had No. We were in Atlanta working with HUD multifamily on another issue. They don't advertise those travel plans until 2 working days ahead of time. So we found out Friday, Ralph found out Friday, and we were trying to get him to come by our dialysis clinic. We couldn't put it together. He was only in town. He was only on the ground about 3 hours max. So, but he's coming back. Don't worry.
He was
almost here for Kirkpatrick Park. We'll get him here. And actually, I'm more interested in his money than I am him.
Yeah.
Give him the choice, I'll take the money.
Okay. Well, thank you. Have a good evening. Stay safe.
Thanks. Good meeting.
The public hearing is
thank
closed.
You. See ya.
Thanks, too. Will you stop it?
Okay.